Episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers. You can follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Today, going to talk a little bit about Michigan-Rutgers. Field any of your guys' questions. I know the other day we talked a little bit about Michigan basketball. I do want to talk about Michigan State basketball at some point. Still trying to figure out how we're going to do this. If it should just be one combined show, or are they going to be two separate shows? So I guess I'll put that up to you guys. You guys can vote on it, I guess, whatever you prefer. I feel like we get a little bit of both. There's a good cross section of Michigan and Michigan State basketball fans. So opening up the live chat, you want to join in if you want to talk about anything Michigan versus Rutgers, one-on-one matchups, but kind of going over some Rutgers stats today. So I'm going to take this time real quick to tweet the live link. Okay, now that that's tweeted, and again, you can follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. You can follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Leoism says, any weather concerns for the game tomorrow? I haven't checked, actually, the weather. I know there's some little bit of rain right now. I think if the rain's supposed to just kind of be spotty and clear through. I know this was the tail end of kind of a big mass that was swirling over Michigan. That's a good question, Leoism. I'll actually look. It is a noon kickoff tomorrow against Rutgers homecoming, for those who don't know. And I've been seeing all over the internet, you can actually get tickets cheaper than the price of the ticket. So tomorrow's forecast, Ann Arbor, 45 degrees, 10% precipitation, 69% humidity, wind 12 miles per hour. Doesn't look like any rains in the forecast. Looks probably going to be kind of cool around game time, about 40 degrees. But other than that, no rain in the forecast, according to weather.com. So hopefully that answered your question, Leo. As Mike Zabrowski says, what's up, Adam? Glad to be here for this one. It's been a few shows. Sorry, been busy. Yeah, Mike, no problem. I've been doing them a little bit. This week's been kind of especially impromptu, but just doing them when I can. We'll continue to do so after October 31st, which is my last day with FanRag Sports. So show will continue after that, and hopefully I have something. Got a little thing going right now, so hopefully we'll be able to talk about something in November. So anyway, Frank Lucas says, any chance Peter sees the field for a good amount of reps? Well, Frank, define good. He's not going to start, but define good. If this game goes the way that I think it's going to go, and we're talking about this Wednesday predictions, I think that Michigan, if Michigan's offense has anything, I mean, it has everything to prove. If there's anything in there, any high power, any of these expectations we all had when Pep Hamilton became the passing game coordinator, they have to show it against Rutgers. So I'm expecting, and I think maybe I'm going out on a limb, but I have to believe that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen Saturday, 42-13 Michigan over Rutgers. And if that is the case, then yeah, I can see Brandon Peters probably, you know, fourth quarter. I mean, it all depends. I mean, if this is a game where Michigan gets up, you know, like 31-0 at halftime, I mean, we might see Brandon a couple series into the third quarter. I mean, it's really a judgment call. I think, and Jim Harbaugh has said this week, Tim Drevno has said this week, that Brandon is one play away. So, I mean, that's, if you're Brandon Peters, you know, you obviously want to hear that. And, you know, everybody's saying that he's a leader in practice. He looks good in practice. You know, I mean, I don't think the players are going to say, well, you know what, hey, John O'Korn's just way better than Brandon Peters. I mean, this, you guys don't understand. I don't think they're going to say that, but from what it sounds like, I mean, Brandon is not a bad quarterback. And if you've seen any footage, I mean, if you look on, like, Michigan football Twitter, if you look on MGo Blue, I mean, some of these little clips from practice, it'll show Brandon throwing. And I mean, if you watch him before a game, I mean, Brandon has an arm. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to compete for a starting quarterback role. But at the same time, pardon me, with Wilton Spate's future unknown, guys, and I just wrote this column, this one posted yesterday. I have something coming up on special teams today on FanRagSports.com. But I wrote this one yesterday. Don't count out Wilton Spate, because I think if he returns healthy and they're, you know, and he's back with Michigan, I don't think his college career is over. If he's back with Michigan, and, I mean, I don't think he's done. I really don't. So that's something I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to, because I still believe, even the scenario, and I know a lot of you guys out there probably don't want to hear this, but if there is a scenario where Wilton Spate returns and he's 100% healthy, everything's a go, I can't help believe that he'll be the front runner for the job next year. And I know a lot of you guys don't want to hear that, but I do believe that. So Aaron Quinney says, what's good, my dude? Hey, Aaron, how you doing? Frank Lucas says, like playing a quarter or more. As I babbled on, Frank, didn't even look down. So, yeah, do I see that a good? I don't know about a quarter or more, maybe half a quarter. I mean, it depends. Again, it depends. I mean, if Michigan just goes out and blows out Rutgers, which has the worst defense in the Big Ten, the worst. And if you guys want, I could rattle off some stats. I have some interesting player notes, too, that I do want to mention. But, yeah, maybe. But I'm going to go on the conservative side and say that we just see him, you know, probably late in the fourth quarter. Mike Zabrowski says, a lot of talk about Kareem getting plays Saturday. Also, Quiddy Pay looks like a specimen in the making. Yeah, Quiddy was in that two deep since camp. I think a lot of people are pushing for Kareem Walker. I think because it's a story, it's something to push. And, I mean, a lot, you know, one carry for, what, it was 8 yards, 10 yards. I've seen an 8 and 10 on stat sheets. I think it was 10. Whatever it was, I mean, there is a reason why guys are getting the amount of snaps that they're getting and the amount of carries that they're getting. It's because they're the ones who are practicing the best in practice. So Ty Isaac's going to get a bunch of carries if he's having a good week of practice. Same goes for Chris and Karan. And, I mean, and Kareem hasn't gotten a lot of carries because evidently, if you follow that line of logic, then he hasn't been practicing as well as those top three. And, again, he did enter the season as the number four guy anyway. So, I mean, yeah, Kareem Walker, there's a ton of potential there. I know that, I mean, he was one of the best running backs of his class. I think that he could be a good running back. I liked what I saw in the spring. That was a limited sample size. You know, Harbaugh did say that he was the best in-between tackles running back that they had. This was back during Big Ten media days in Chicago. But at the same time, I can't sit here and think, well, man, Michigan's not using Kareem Walker, and he'd be so good, and they know that he would, but they're just being stubborn and not using him. I mean, I think there is reason behind it. And this is just a case of, you know, you see a guy make a couple big plays, and all of a sudden everybody's like, well, why aren't they using him? Why aren't they using him? I mean, I get it. I do think Kareem, I don't understand why Kareem's not getting more carries. I will say that. But if it's along the same, if it's the practice thing, then he's not practicing as well. And if that's the case, then, I mean, of course he's not going to see a lot of carries on game day. So, Frank Lucas says, are you allowed to go to the practices? No. But I sneak in. I wear Michigan gear and khakis, and I just sneak in. They don't know, so don't tell them. Jagu Notepad says, doesn't matter who you have back there. I'm kidding, I don't do that. Doesn't matter who you have back there. The offensive line and running backs need to block, and the receivers need to get open. Big Bubble Blue says, God, it's crappy out. Thank God it's Friday. It is. Is it? Where? I don't know where all you guys are. I'm assuming a lot of, I know there's people from out of state, but it is kind of cold and rainy here in Flint. Sucks. Mike Zabrowski says, yes, I agree. Got to show me more. I like our backs, just not blocking at all. How about Beilein calling us not good at the moment? Is that more of a facade, or is he being realistic? Well, he said they're average at a lot of things. They're not very good at one specific thing. It's the preseason. They've had like 16, 17 practices now. They had 16 Wednesday, as of Wednesday. So let's just say they've had 17 practices so far. I mean, I don't know what you expect to have at this point in the season without even seeing them take the court against competition. So, I mean, you see them, you know, intra-squad and that kind of stuff, but I don't, is a facade? I don't know. I think he's being realistic. They're no more Derek Walton, no more DJ Wilson. I mean, this is a young team in a lot of ways. He said there's a legitimate three-man battle. He called it a quarterback controversy for point guard. I mean, I imagine I have to believe Xavier Simpson is a front runner, or Jerron Simmons. I mean, one of those two, I think, are the guys. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's honest evaluation of John Beilein. It's not, put it this way, it's not like John Beilein is Tom Izzo right now, and Tom Izzo knows he's just sitting on a mass of wealth. I mean, that is about as talented team as he's ever had. I mean, it really is. Front court-wise, I think that's the best front court he's ever had. He's had better backcourts. In terms of complete teams, he's had a lot of complete teams. But athletically, especially in the front court, I think this is probably the best Tom Izzo's ever had. So to contrast the two situations, John Beilein knows that he's got a team that can probably be good. I think these guys are going to be good. Mo Wagner, I'm anticipating, is going to be one of the best bigs in the country. I think that Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman is going to be... he's going to have a big year. I think the addition of Charles Matthews, too. Charles can score. And he was on Sports Illustrated transfer players, like impact transfer, who's going to score, you know, points. And he and Jerron were both listed, I think it was like in the top 50. I think Charles was like 43, and I don't know, I think Jerron was like 60 or vice versa, something like that. Anyway, if you put any stock in that list, they are going to contribute to this team. So while they are young in some places, I mean, you have fifth-year transfer. I mean, you have a guy who's been at Kentucky in Charles Matthews, and then he's practiced with Michigan all last year, and they had nothing but great things to say. I mean, Charles Matthews was, I think, part of the reason why, I mean, these guys were as good as they were, right? I mean, you're playing against a D1 starter anywhere else, and this guy's on your practice squad. You're playing against a guy who, you know, arguably might be the best scorer on any team that he goes to, and you're playing against this guy, he's on practice squad. So, I don't know. I like the potential with Michigan basketball. I think it's not as defined as what we see with Michigan State basketball, but that makes it kind of fun, you know, part of the fun, I think. I think the Wolverines will be good this year. I do. I think they'll be a tournament team. Sean Holt says, what's up, Adam? Hey, Sean. Frank Lucas says, didn't a recruit decommit recently? I know everybody's talking about Emile. He didn't refute the claim last time that I saw. Latest news, I don't know if he has officially decommitted. I think, doesn't he have an official visit still? Or if he schedules that visit, then that basically means he's decommitting. And I believe that's tomorrow. Jagu Notepad says, Furbush and Winovich needs to start making plays again. Jeremy Turner says, basketball will be fun this year in the state of Michigan. Oakland is going to be nice this year, too. Yeah, I really like what Greg Campy. Guys, I've done a little bit of on Oakland, and I really like, you know, especially last year. They played really well against Georgia. Oakland basketball is one of those teams where you have to just appreciate what Greg Campy can do, especially in this state when you have John Beilein on one side, you have Tom Izzo on the other. I mean, you're a Horizon League team. You know, you have to make do. You're in Big Ten country. You know, you're not going to get the elite out there in the area. Greg Campy does a wonderful job. Great coach. I have a lot of respect for him. He is, the past couple of years I was able to probably cover a handful, maybe five or six Oakland games. But, Campy's been on the podcast a few times. So, really like what he's done down there. I remember watching Kay Felder go off against Michigan State at the Palace. Oakland gave Michigan State everything. Well, I don't know if Michigan State wanted that much. But Oakland, that was 2 years ago, proved Kay Felder. That was like Kay Felder's, like, hey, I'm here kind of game. And he was one of my favorite players to watch. I really liked watching Kay Felder. With the Bulls now, actually. So Jeremy Turner says Horizon League can play some basketball. I can. I mean, I know it last year, Valparaiso, I haven't looked at the preseason. I'm assuming Oakland, I think Oakland is a front runner. I'm assuming Valparaiso is probably in there too. I remember Cam Morris, he went to Flint Carmen Ainsworth, Youngstown State last year. They beat Oakland, I think. Remember that? That was Joe Louis Arena at the Horizon League tournament. And Cam Morris at one time was among the nation's leading scorers. And they went on to win that... I want to say that they won the Horizon League tournament, if I'm not mistaken. Jagu Notepad says that Michigan State basketball game was not an impressive win. I did not go to that. It's an exhibition, too. So, I mean, and you got to understand, for Ferris State, that's the biggest game that, I don't want to say any of those guys, but 99.9% of those guys will ever or have ever played. I mean, that was just, that was a huge event for those guys. So you know that, I mean, if you're, if I'm a Ferris State guy, and I don't care if it is an exhibition, I'm playing a team that people are looking at with preseason National Player of the Year and potential Final Four written all over it. Well, should be Final Four written all over it. I think it would be, I think it'd be a shame almost if Izzo doesn't go to the Final Four with this team. But anyway, that's how Ferris State, you know, that was their, that was their March Madness moment right there. Frank Lucas, do you think Michigan basketball can repeat as in Big Ten tournament champion or repeat? What do you mean? I mean, it's super early to say for Big Ten. I just don't see anybody beating Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. I don't. I mean, it, to me, it's Michigan State and everybody else in the Big Ten this year. But, John Beilein's pretty good tournament coach, isn't he? But, nobody gave Michigan a shred of a chance going in that Big Ten tournament last year. I did. For all those people, I want to pat myself on the back right now. For all those people who are screaming, fire Beilein, you know who you are in January. After your pretty slow Big Ten start, John Beilein can't recruit. What's up with the player development? They're not good. Blah, 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 blah. And then, bam. It happened. And I think when that happened was the Ohio State, Michigan State. Back to back. That's what happened for him. Frank Lucas says somehow Wisconsin's always got a decent team. Wisconsin, I mean, that's a program. Wisconsin, I mean, look at Wisconsin basketball and football. I mean, Wisconsin is like the consistent, the most consistent team in the Big Ten when it comes to men's basketball and football. And if it isn't, then, well, I mean, Michigan State's been pretty consistent lately. Who else? That's probably about it. Wisconsin, Penn State to have, yeah, I would say so, Wisconsin, Penn State. Anyway, Big Bubble Blue says beating Louisville was awesome. Marcel Wood says we have to see how fundamentally sound Wisconsin basketball team is. Always fundamentally sound. Jagu Notepad says Wisconsin also tops in cross country. And you know, it was always, I always wondered because like Wisconsin doesn't have a baseball team. Purdue doesn't have a baseball team. Northwestern does, but not all the teams. It's weird, you know, when you look at Big Ten sports, not every school has it. And you'd be surprised in some of the Big Ten, like with cross country, you know, there's really good Big Ten programs. Women's volleyball, I think, Penn State's really good. You know, there's like Big Ten's, in terms of just sports overall, the Big Ten is definitely one of the best conferences in college sports. Bar none, when you look top to bottom, I mean, you include like all the swimming, gymnastics, rowing, pistol, all that stuff. Big Ten's winning a championship in something every single year. Jeremy Turner says Wisconsin can get the best players from their state. Michigan and Michigan State have to battle for Big Ten players in one state. That's a good point. Cameron Clark says Wisconsin doesn't have baseball. No. Neither does Purdue. I'm trying to think. There's Big Ten teams that do have baseball. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State. Penn State, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, I think. Now I'm curious. I want to pull this up. Not every team has baseball. And I know that Wisconsin does it. I should know this, like, off the top of my head, but... I know Iowa does, Maryland does. Okay, these are the baseball teams in the Big Ten. Nebraska, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, Maryland, Indiana, Northwestern, Purdue. Okay, Purdue does have baseball. Never mind. Michigan State, Illinois, Ohio State, Rutgers, Penn State. So everybody but Wisconsin. Yeah, and only six teams have hockey. Jagu Notepad says Purdue women's top outdoor track and field in Big Ten. Also, a fantastic engineering school. You didn't say Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's got a team. Everybody but Wisconsin. I'm curious as to why. Which means they don't have a softball team either. So, yeah, that's I wonder why. I gotta admit, I mean, Wisconsin's cool. I mean, Minnesota's cool, but Michigan is too. I mean, there are a lot of disadvantages. I mean, that's why I see all the really good college baseball teams. I mean, you have, California, Florida, I mean, ACC, SEC country, Big 12, warm weather states for the most part. Michigan baseball is pretty good, though, and signed Eric Backich to a 5-year extension. Eric Backich has done a lot for Wolverines baseball. And this past year, they just had a school record draft class, 11 guys. I think, like, every draft eligible, there was only one guy, I believe, who was draft eligible and didn't get drafted, and that was Jackson Lamb, left-handed relief pitcher. He had been drafted 3 times before. He had been drafted out of high school. I know guys who played against him and played with him. A little bit younger than me, obviously, but people who I've met through baseball, a couple former Mott guys know him and things like that. So, Jagu Notepad says, I think Ohio State is going to beat Penn State pretty good. I mean, I'm leaning toward Ohio State. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but I mean, you're looking at one of the best defenses in the country against one of the best offenses in the country. What, Ohio State averages like 47 points per game, something like that. Jeremy Tinner says, you would love covering baseball in Florida, Adam. They take it serious. Oh yeah, I've covered a little bit of Michigan baseball. I've been around, minor league baseball and college baseball, high school baseball around here, that sort of thing, summer leagues. But it is it baseball is just a different. It's a different animal, and especially, I mean, you get to, Michigan kids say, a Michigan baseball player is made in the winter. And it's because, indoor and all the training and stuff. And I mean, whereas, Florida, I mean, just year round, California year round, Texas year round. I mean, and that's just how it goes. Louisiana, I know, is a big baseball state. LSU baseball. Cameron Clark says, "What's my prediction for tomorrow? 42-13." I don't know if I'm giving Rutgers too much credit against this Michigan defense, or if I'm giving Michigan's offense too much credit against the Rutgers defense. So guys, real quick, I'm gonna read off these numbers to you because they're gonna sound pretty familiar, I think, when you break them down. If I could find them, I had them. I will talk about some players to watch too, but okay. This is what I really wanted to point out. Rutgers has 15 rushing touchdowns this year. Michigan has 11. Rutgers has 5 passing touchdowns this year. Michigan has 4. So you guys remember what I've been saying about, show me another team with 15 total touchdowns that's won 5 games. I mean, and obviously Michigan's defense has helped out. Rutgers doesn't have really great defense at all. But I mean, I'm looking at some of these numbers and I'm like, these are pretty comparable to what you see at Michigan. 4.7 yards per play for the Scarlet Knights. I think Michigan's at like, what is it? Total offense 5.2. So you're looking at a half yard difference. I mean, if you want me to rattle them all off, I will. But if you don't, just take my word for it. I've been comparing these stats all day, and very comparable. If you just show numbers side by side, and unless you are very familiar with all, or know a couple particular stats that make Michigan's jump out over Rutgers, you probably wouldn't be able to differentiate the two sets of numbers. I mean, they are that close, which is, in a way, kind of sad to say. When you, on paper, at least offensively, Michigan and Rutgers match up. There's really a It's really hard to give a stark advantage to either offense. I give Michigan the benefit of the doubt. Rutgers beat Purdue. Wow, yeah, and Illinois. Frank Lucas says, I don't expect a blowout. Rutgers just beat Purdue. Yeah, 14-12. Cameron Clark says, I don't know if they score that much, 13 points. Basically, Cameron, I'm looking as it's going to be a reversal for Michigan, what happened against Penn State, take it out on Rutgers. And one thing I do think, though, maybe a special teams play, if Janarian Grant plays, if you remember 2 years ago, we had that 98-yard kickoff. Michigan still won, not kickoff return for touchdown. Michigan still won 49-16. Remember, Jake Rudock was quarterback. Janarian Grant went 98 yards. If he does play, he's practiced this week. So I think he'll be a big player for them. And maybe, you know, if Rutgers can get a, you know, some kind of special teams action like that, Janarian Grant with a touchdown and maybe scrape out, you know, a touchdown. I don't know, but 13 might be generous. But, I mean, they did score. I mean, they scored 35 against Illinois. 35-24. Cameron says 30-7 Michigan. Who, guys, it is a home game. Who wants to, I know someone out there wants a half steak or a half chicken sandwich from Mr. Spots, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor, MrSpotsAnnArbor.com. So, the closest, or if you're dead on, the first one, you'll win one. So, Cameron Clark says 30-7. That's his prediction. Let's see your guys' predictions, guys. I'm going 42-13. I'm expecting to see the most offensive output from Michigan that we've seen all season and the most that we will see all season. Because if this isn't the game to do it, then it's not going to happen. Jagu Notepad says, if Wisconsin's quarterback is a pocket passer, Alex Hornibrook, Michigan will dominate. The option runs by the quarterback gives Michigan problems. Big Bubble Blue says 28-13. Michigan, Jagu Notepad says offensive line needs to make plays. There's no leadership in this team. Marcel Woods, 24-14. Marcel, you're scared to predict any more than that, aren't you? You want to predict more than that, Marcel. I know you do. Just do it. Just dive head first, Marcel. I went 42-13. I just did it. Felt kind of good to do it. If this is a get that I had, because put it this way, all the things during the offseason, during camp, talking to all the players about, you know, the potential. I remember Eddie McDoom specifically telling me during a youth camp, and I'm not singling Eddie out, and this is not his fault, but they expected this offense to be faster and, quote, put up more points on the board. He told me that. So that's what I was expecting. And they're not. They're 25 points per game, scoring 40 per last year. 40 points per game last year, 25 this year. It's not living up to the expectations. Marcel Woods is, my gut is saying 49-10. There you go, Marcel. There you go, Marcel. I know, it felt good, didn't it? Did you have like a sigh? Did you just breathe a sigh of relief? You're like, screw it. Go with your gut on this one, guys. I think this might be the one. This might be the one. You got to remember, FOIA, they're pissed. They just got their butts kicked by Penn State. Of course. 42-13. Marcel Woods amending his to 49-10. Cameron Clark, are you a Michigan fan? No, Cameron. Jagu Notepad says, what a World Series game last Wednesday. I'm happy for Justin. You know, nice bump by Justin Verlander, by the way. Who saw that? I mean, come on. Hats off to you, JV. That was a hell of a bump. Part of me wants JV to get a ring. I like Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, but I do have Dodger fan ties since I was just a little kid, first getting into baseball. So I'm going with the Dodgers. Dodgers or Diamondbacks were actually my pick this year. So, with Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks. So, I thought those were the two best teams or the two best equipped for a World Series run. And see the Dodgers in World Series. It's good going back to Houston. Saturday game 3 Saturday, game 4 Sunday. Big weekend on Fox Sports. They should pay me. That's a commercial for them. I just did. Cameron Clark, who did I grow up liking? College-wise, I like players. I'm from the state. I like a lot. Marcel Wood says, you think if it goes seven, we will see a Kershaw versus Verlander in the World Series? I hope so. I hope so. That would be, I mean, and tell me that would not be just, that'd be a baseball fan's dream right there. That, I mean, to me, Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, game seven. Verlander's still wearing orange and blue, so you can pretend that he's a Tiger. Big Bubba Blue says, Verlander, yeah, that wouldn't be bad. No, I agree. Rock City's here. Jagu Notepad says, Verlander is one lucky guy in more ways than one. Justin Verlander leads a charmed life, doesn't he? One of my favorite Detroit athletes ever. One of my favorite. First ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, AL MVP, Cy Young Award. I mean, you look at that stretch. Again, I talk about this at 11 to like 14, 15. There was not a better pitcher in baseball. For 10 years, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball for 10 years. He helped keep the Detroit Tigers competitive. So when he left, I remember people, you know, some mixed emotions and things. But, I mean, Justin Verlander doesn't owe the Tigers anything. And, I mean, Tigers fans, you know, you could be upset, but I wouldn't be mad at the guy. Let him go get his ring. He deserves it. Marcel Wood says, I blame the first World Series loss on the batters that year. He talked about 2006 against the Cardinals. Jagu Notepad says, Astros can't hit. And you know what's funny? That after like four, George Springer, Altuve, Correa, who else? Four. There were like, they had like four guys in the top 10 batting average in American League. And as a team, they had the highest team batting average at one point during the season. I think that was true throughout the entire regular season. Be honest with you guys, like, this past summer, especially because I was so busy with baseball, you know, City League, and then playing a little bit of 40 League, and then work starting, but, you know, football starting and everything. I didn't get a chance. I mean, I got, you know, watch the Tigers, of course. I didn't really get a chance to watch a ton of other teams. I did watch a lot. Did watch Dodgers games, D-backs, watch the Cubs because, you know, WGN, Cubs and White Sox. Watched what I could. Had an MLB network, too, so doing that, but I didn't get to watch a ton of the Astros this year. Just saw them on highlights and, you know, when they were playing the Tigers. Big Bubba Blue says, Altuve, my second favorite player behind Miggy. Yeah, Altuve, man, just, he's one of those, I compare, you know, like Dustin Pedroia, Boston, I mean, Ian Kinsler, too. I mean, I'm not saying they're, you know, putting talent-wise, they're all similar, but they prove you don't have to be a big, huge guy. I mean, Dustin especially and Jose Altuve. Because I think I don't know how tall Ian Kinsler is, maybe 5'10". But, I mean, Altuve and Pedroia, two of the best at their positions. And kind of, you don't have to be, you know, the biggest, most athletic-looking guy, especially in baseball. A lot of it, I think, is just knowing how to read the ball and playing smart. Altuve is an incredibly intelligent player. Cameron Clark says Altuve is about to get paid. Yeah, he is. Big Bob Blue says Altuve is extremely consistent and just had that spark of wanting to watch it play. Yeah, he's one of those guys that are fun to watch. I like watching Yasiel Puig. I do think sometimes a little over the top. I can do without, you know, licking everything in sight. Like, I don't know if that's just like his thing. I don't understand that. Licking your base, licking your bat. I mean, at least do that before you get in the batter's box. Just with a little tongue flicking and stuff. I mean, I don't know. But whatever, he is fun to watch. But I didn't like his reaction you guys saw when he dove for that ball. And it hit his glove and bounced up into the stands in right field. And then he just starts throwing, you know, kind of like a tantrum. And I mean, I understand that he's upset about it, but, I mean, come on, man. This is the World Series. Plays are going to be made. There's going to be plays that aren't going to be made. I just don't like that part of it, because I think the knock on Yasiel Puig is, like, you know, he's emotional, he's immature, he's kind of a jerk, you know, you know, you've heard all kinds of stuff. People were getting mad about bat flips and whatever, so. Marcel Woods says he has some Manny Ramirez in him. Well, hopefully not too much, Manny, if you know what I'm saying, Marcel. Marcel Woods, what's the big time free agent will the Tigers target? That's a good question. That's a good question. I do not have the answer. I don't expect Miggy or Ian Kinsler. It's going to be a few years, I think, before the Tigers are good again. I mean, this is just rebuild. I was like, I don't want to use the word rebuild. I hate that. Everything. It's a rebuild. It's a re-gut. Start from scratch. Gotta have the homegrown talent. That they got lucky, you know. I mean, landing a guy like JD Martinez. JD came up in the Houston Astros system. I mean, Big Bubba Blue says, love how Puig was on cover of MLB Show and then got sent to the minors. Tigers should have waited before hiring the manager. I liked Ron Gardenhire a lot like 3 years ago. I really did. I still like the hiring of him, but I'm like, okay, well, it's Ron Gardenhire 3 years ago. Can you maybe put a little, I don't know how much, how calculated of a move was this? You know, I don't cover the Tigers. That'd be probably a better question for Tigers beat writer. But I'm wondering really how much time went in. It's not like the Detroit Tigers are, pretty good job. One of the better, if I'm a coach or a manager, I have to look at Detroit Tigers as one of the better jobs in the American League. And why not? I mean, facilities, you have a huge fan base. Good team, has been a good team, for the past 10, 11 years. Justin Verlander was a rookie that 2006 World Series. The beginning of it all, kind of. Cameron Clark, how are the prospects that we got for Verlander? A bunch of guys that I had never heard of. And again, I'm not like a minor league base. I'm not like a prospect guru. I spent a ton of time with Michigan State football. So when it comes to at least like the past, couple years at least, I'm not as knowledgeable as I would like to be. So I might have some extra time though to study up on baseball. Who knows? I'm more of in like a casual fan mode, like, you know what I mean, with baseball. So I like to watch a lot of it. Still love to play it. Always will. Jagu Notepad says, good to see Fernando and Vince Scully throwing the first pitch. Yeah, Vin, that is and I'm trying to remember who had the high Vin cleats. Was that Jock Peterson? Somebody had him. Guys are had, customized cleats for the World Series. I remember, I'm trying to think. I think Fernando Valenzuela was one of the first. That was one of the first baseball cards that I had that I knew was like, this is a good player. For some reason, I just looked at it. And this was, in the mid 80s. I was a little kid. And I was looking at it. I think this is a good card. And I remember showing, like, my neighbor. And they ended up having, like, a Beckett. I don't know if I think Beckett came along later. They had some kind of like card almanac, and at that time the Dodgers were hot. That day, I want to say it may have been like '88 because Oral Hershiser was the National League MVP that year, and I remember my Oral Hershiser National League MVP card was like my prized possession. That and my Ricky Henderson Oakland A's card. Jagu Notepad says, "How long did it take to collect all of those baseballs you have in your background?" A little while. I've been collecting. And there's a bunch of stuff back here that you guys can't see. I've been collecting memorabilia most of my life. Marcel Woods says, or TJ Duckett, or where I miss it. Marcel Woods says, Jeff Smoker or John Navarre? Peak Jeff Smoker. Non-cocaine Jeff Smoker. Navarre was pretty good too, but I mean, Jeff Smoker, I don't know if a lot of people even remember this. Jeff Smoker was regarded as one of the top quarterback prospects of that recruiting class. He was a huge star in Pennsylvania. Huge star in high school. TJ Duckett or Chris Perry? I'd go with Chris Perry on that. Big Bubba Blue says, my prized possession for baseball card is Roger Clemens' rookie card. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's like there are a few things that I've had. I mowed a lot of lawns. That helped me with my love for mowing lawns. I think anybody who's watched podcasts for a long time knows that I love to mow the lawn, help out at the field up at Kersley Park, home of Mott College Baseball. So I keep mine looking like a try to make it look like a infield cross cut it, whatever. I don't have many hobbies outside of work, so but yeah, I really enjoy collecting stuff. It's fun. Any other questions, guys? Let me go over these Rutgers players comparisons because we're going on 40 minutes. Real quick, guys, I think that you need to watch Trevor Morris. He's a linebacker. He's their leading tackler with 57. And my computer's being slow. Deontay Roberts, another linebacker. KJ Gray, defensive back. Ross Douglas. Who remembers Ross Douglas, guys? He's now a fifth-year senior. He used to play at Michigan, linebacker, and he's actually one of their better defenders. And he had three tackles against Illinois, three tackles against Purdue. He's had pretty good. He's got three pass breakups on the season and a quarterback hurry. So Ross Douglas is finishing up well at Rutgers. Another guy, I thought that we'd end up seeing him because Amir Mitchell. You remember he was part of that 16 class and then transferred. Just couldn't follow the rules at Michigan. He at Rutgers ACL injury the beginning of the summer. He was on track to recover. He's going to be back. And I thought Amir Mitchell was going to be a pretty good player. He's got all the physical tools. Just got to get his stuff together. Well, Rutgers ended up actually having his brother transfer there, grad transfer, basically to watch over Amir, to keep him out of trouble, I guess. They used the term mentor, so whatever. I'll say keep him out of trouble. They can say it's mentoring. Anyway, his brother Damon is one of the team's leading receivers. 9 catches for 122 yards. Jannarian Grant, 16 catches for 167 yards. He's obviously the one to watch. Jerome Washington too. Their tight end. And in the middle of the season, after like they started like 1-3, their O line was horrible. Started getting together a little bit, using the tight end, changed quarterbacks, went from Kyle Bowlen to I can never say his name right. Giovanni Rossinio. He's from Macomb Township. So going with him to. So basically, wide receivers you want to watch out for: Jannarian Grant if he plays, Jerome Washington tight end, Damon Mitchell, that's Amir's big brother, DeKelvin Bailey, and Raheem Blackshear. Here's the running back, their leading rusher. Raheem's pretty good. He's got 107, and Gus Edwards too. Gus Edwards 107 attempts for 507 yards. Raheem's got 30 carries for 220 yards. So I mean, Rutgers probably gonna try to run the ball a little bit. I don't think they're gonna pass it. Lavert Hill's having an incredible year. Michigan secondary isn't as bad as what it looked like against Penn State, and I don't imagine Giovanni Rossinio really having any time to throw the ball. So, Jeremy Turner, Ross Douglas, linebacker for Michigan. Yep, that's correct. Rutgers as their running back for Michigan. I don't know. Let me check. Which one? Raheem Blackshear or Gus Edwards? Gus Edwards is from Staten Island. Or Robert Martin, I think, might be the one you're thinking of. Nope, no. Nope. Just Amir. As far as I know, Amir Mitchell transfer. He's not from Michigan. He's from New Jersey. And then Ross Douglas. And Ross is from Ohio, but he went to Michigan initially and then transferred. Big Bubba Blue says we have tons of New Jersey players and Rutgers takes our rejects, LOL. Cameron Clark says Douglas used to be a running back. Yes, he did. Jay Goo Notepad says Brett Hawkins' wiper is going to make a difference. Jeremy Turner says, gotta go take care, Adam. Keep the podcast coming. Any other questions, guys? I'm gonna get going too. I have a couple things to do. Tomorrow versus Rutgers. That'll be my last covering my last Michigan football game. My last game. In general, for FanRag Sports. So again, thanks to all you guys for reading my stuff on FanRag Sports. Hopefully, I have something to announce coming up relatively soon. But in the meantime, I will continue the podcast as much as possible. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Because even if I'm not an official media member, I'm still going to tweet about sports and have discussions about sports. Because that's pretty much all I know how to do. So. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Find Sports in the Mitten on Facebook. Sports, just search Sports in the Mitten. And that's about it, guys. Appreciate you watching. Have a great Friday. Have a nice weekend. If you're going to the game tomorrow, have a good time. And I know that I will, because I do expect, at least, if there's going, like I said, I keep saying this and I'm going to end it on this. If Michigan has any firepower within this offense, it's got to show tomorrow. That's the bottom line. So thanks for watching, guys. I'll catch you next time.